As we reported last week, the 16th conference for the UN treaty known as the Convention on Biological Diversity was suspended in disarray as the talks ran out of time to have a quorum. But early on, the negotiations yielded a landmark agreement to form a subsidiary body that specifically recognizes the role of Indigenous peoples in future conservation decisions. With Indigenous peoples often known for their long and significant role in environmental conservation, this has been a fight for First Nation groups worldwide. One such group is the Kankwamo people, who live in Colombia where the conference took place. Their ancestral lands are in the Sierra Nevada Mountains, a place that is referred to as the heart of the world, and is surrounded by a virtual border called the Black Line that connects over 300 sacred sites for the four Indigenous nations that live there. Along with their neighbors, the Kankwamo people have dedicated much of their time and energy to protecting these lands, these days mostly from mining threats. For more, we turn now to Carmen Rosa Guerra Ariza. She serves as the Global Agenda Coordinator of the Indigenous Kankwamo Organization and joins me to share how her community is connected to the land and to reflect on this year's biodiversity talks at COP16. Carmen, welcome to Living on Earth.
Thank you for having me, and thank you all for allowing me to talk about my territory. In Somillano, that means good morning in my language.
So please tell us about your Indigenous community, the Kankwamo.
The Kankwamo Indigenous Nation is one of four Indigenous nations that live in the Sierra Nevada of Guanabindua, the heart of the world, the north of Colombia. We are being ancestrally protecting our territory that we believe that is the heart beating in the life existence of the Mother Earth. And we are promoting the protection of the traditional, spiritual, sacred places that we have around the Sierra Nevada. And that have a name, the Black Line. And the Black Line is the connection of those really specific spiritual places that protect the whole humanity for everything. And since we have knowledge, we have been doing that.
So, Carmen, could you tell us a little bit more about this term, the Black Line?
Of course, the Black Line is this series of sacred places that are around the Sierra Nevada of Guanabindua and that actually protect the Sierra Nevada of Guanabindua. Each of the sacred places have a purpose. For example, you have a place for healing. You had a place for knowing things. You can have a place for getting birth. You can have a place for many, many purposes. And the important part of these spiritual traditional places is that they need to be protected.
Mm-hmm. So yes, you referred to the Sierra Nevada Mountains as the heart of the world. Where did that name come from?
Well, that is our traditional knowledge. So we are basically protecting the heart of the world that is allocated there. It's not like we need to overthink about it. It is. Since we exist in that territory, we're being protecting Mother Earth. So we believe that we have nine worlds, four on top, four in the bottom, and in the middle is the Earth. And all these worlds are connected in our traditional knowledge system. And that's why we know that the heart of the world is in our territory. It's the same like the lung of the world, you know, the Amazon. In their traditional knowledge, they are protecting the lung of the world because they are allowing the Mother Earth to breathe through their territory.
And can you describe the Sierra Nevada for us? You know, what does it look like and how does it feel to live there?
Well, it's not because it's my territory, but it's beautiful. It's the perfection itself. It has all the temperatures. So you have snow in the top and you have the beach at the bottom. So you can actually visit the top and you are going to be with jacket and then you are going to be in bathing suit because you are in the beach. But also it's really specific each territory. We are four Indigenous nations, so we are all together protecting our territory and we all have kind of the same tradition. So that's why we only have one traditional knowledge system. So we are a really strong and resilient Indigenous nation. And in my community, you can have a lot of hummingbirds, a lot of real nature. Like you have many butterflies in my territory. You have many trees. You have mango trees. I love mango. And you have many, many options of mangoes. And you have many traditions connected to sacred plants first, but second, plants for healing and plants for eating. So it's a really close connection to the territory.
Now, what are some of the environmental threats that the Kangwamo people are facing?
The Sierra Nevada is so rich that you can find a lot of things, metals and rich minerals, beautiful things that belong to territory and needs to be in the territory. But the economic and capitalist approach always overpass that necessity to protect the territory. So because of that, you have like more than 100 requests of prior consultation. We don't have settled yet in Colombia. We have prior consultations in our territory. And I'm not talking only about the Kangwamo, because as I said, we are four indigenous nations, the Kangwamo, the Wiwa, the Kogi, and the Arhuaco people. And we are all defending our territory. And we are all in the same page that we don't want mining in the territory.
And how do Colombia's indigenous communities protect nature and the environment?
Well, first, we understand that we are not protecting Mother Earth. It's on the contrary. Mother Earth is protecting us. The first message that we sent in COP16 was that, a reminder to the humanity, because, you know, humans can be really arrogant. Second, that relationship, acknowledging that, allows you to recognize that you are part of the Mother Earth. So behaving in that way, behaving in a respectful way, because you are part of, you are not over Mother Earth. You are part of Mother Earth. In that way, you can protect. But also, something that is absolutely important for every single indigenous nation that I know, for sure for the heart of the world, is the spiritual protection to Mother Earth. So we are connected through our spiritual authorities, the Mamos and the Sakas. They are our traditional spiritual authorities that guide us and that have this deep connection with Mother Earth. Actually, they can interpret Mother Earth and showing us what is Mother Earth saying or suggesting or even advising. Because Mother Earth is a living being.
Now, you were at the recent UN Biodiversity Conference, COP16, which was in Cali, Colombia. What role did indigenous nations have in this conference?
Well, first of all, for the biodiversity conference, I do feel that the indigenous movement had a strong pathway. So since the COP3, we have the IFB, the International Indigenous Forum of Biodiversity, and that built the capacity for having a caucus that actually acknowledge all the issues on biodiversity in a settled way. In our traditional system, knowledge system is also important to generate the practical approach of the protection of what the Convention of Biodiversity want to achieve. At the end of the day, we are giving our life for our territories and we are protecting key ecosystems in the whole world, in the 7 sociocultural regions. So that's why our role is absolutely specific, but also important, because even the parties need to acknowledge that in every single way that the Western approach has been failing, we are having success.
Carmen Rosa Guerra Ariza is the Global Agenda Coordinator of the Indigenous Kangwamo Organization. Thank you so much for your time with me today, Carmen.
Thank you so much, you guys, and Hasai Hasai.
The new formal body was created to give Indigenous communities a proper seat at the table in the negotiations going forward. And in light of the lack of quorum at the end of COP16, those negotiations will continue at an interim meeting next year in Bangkok, Thailand.